What's up, everybody? This is the QB List Podcast. Brian and Mario are back for week 7. Start, sit. This is part 1. Welcome in, Mario. How are we doing today?
Oh, Brian, I'm doing well. I could be doing better because I recently saw that, and I don't think we're covering this game today, but my boy Debo got questionable at tag, and Debo, near and dear to my heart, you know why, more than anybody, but...
Yeah, Mario completely just spanked me this past weekend, which gave him the right to steal somebody off my roster. I've had so many injuries. I've had to trade and cut pieces in half, and sure enough, there's that Debo, unprotected, and Mario, thanks, buddy. Really appreciate that.
Prime for the plucking. Yes, but besides that, I'm good. Besides that, what can I complain about?
Well, Debo is not the only guy that changed teams or fantasy teams anyway. We've got some actual, we've got to touch on this before we get in the start sit here.
Yep.
Big boy trades here. Cam Akers to
Cam
the
button. No, I'm just kidding. What does that mean for Aaron Jones, Brian? I need to know.
Of course, that trade did fall onto us Tuesday as well. But the real news, Devontae Adams going to the Jets, third round conditional second round pick. They're taking all the
money.
Cash. All of it. What does this mean? Alan Lazard. Finally, I can quit talking about him.
Nope.
I mean, he's done.
Alan
right?
Lazard's the two. Alan Lazard is the two. I'm God. Still. I truly think so. I don't know if we're covering the game. I'll see what our order is, but he's still going to get the touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers has the ball in his hand. He's going to continue to play favorites. Adams one, Lazard two. Wilson will get some volume here and there. Nothing near the end zone.
No way. I'm moving on from Alan Lazard. I expect Adams to kind of be the touchdown guy. They're already throwing like in the red zone more than it seems like anybody else in the league at this point. So I'm excited for Garrett Wilson. The volume's not quite going to be there, but the ability for them to like sustain drives and just other eyes off of him, I think it's really good for him and Breece.
The volume's not going to be there, and that's his only strength. I mean, right now, Garrett Wilson is leading the league in targets, 67. Next closest is 58 among wide receivers. And I really think that was just like a squeaky wheel thing. And now that there's a new squeaky wheel in town, I don't know. Garrett Wilson's going to fall out of the top 10 in just a few weeks.
I mean, who knows? It could take Devontae Adams a few weeks to get up and ready. You know, he does have that hamstring injury he's been dealing with.
How could I forget? Hamstringitis.
Oh, man. And then, of course, we had to follow it up. The Bills says, hey, hold my beer. Watch us. We're doing it, too. They go down to Cleveland, pick him up some Amari Cooper there to make a huge splash. And this is the one I'm truly excited for. This one has, I feel like, untapped potential for multiple pieces. Josh Allen has not been consistent game in and game out. Well, he hasn't had Stephon Diggs. He hasn't had a go-to receiver, and that's what we're going to get from Amari Cooper. He is at the age of 30 years old, but that separation is still top tier. I think that this is going to be great for not just the team, Josh Allen, even Khalil Shakir. Goodness, I struggle every time. I think there's possibilities for him to raise that floor just a little bit because they will be sustaining drives a little bit more, you know, a little bit more. It's not going to be pass-heavy offense. They're running it through Cooks. But, yeah, I'm excited. What about you?
I absolutely love it. Like you said, we've seen Josh Allen have some of his absolute worst games, and it feels like it's because he needs to do it all. So this opens it up a little bit. Obviously, he had a ton of success when Diggs was there, a true number one. And I think a sneaky benefit out of this Cooper trade that people aren't talking about is something that you mentioned maybe last week, the week before, was that the Chiefs could be targeting Amari Cooper because it just fit their cap structure, their cap schedule. And so to me, this is actually really good news for Juju, someone who was on bye last week. So I think people aren't talking about him as much, but I see him being the true number one there. We have no update about what Rice is going to be doing, if he's going to be coming back. Kelsey can only do so much. So I really am excited for Juju going forward. I think he is a sneaky winner in all of this.
Yeah, except DeAndre Hopkins is sitting there banging on the window in Tennessee saying, get me
out of here. Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. No, AFC to AFC, it's not happening. Positive vibes.
Well, folks, we're going to break into these games. We've got quite a bit to cover here. We're going to do the first 7 games, including the Thursday night, which you will see tonight. And then, of course, we'll follow up with the final 8 games on tomorrow's episode. So without further ado, let's get it rocking and rolling. The 3-3 Broncos at the 2-4 Saints. 37 points is the over-under. Denver's favored by 3. Chris Olave's out. Shahid is out.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill is out. Is there anybody that we're excited to start on the Saints side?
You know, it would have been Taysom Hill, just because, again, when Rattler is the quarterback, he just excites me to have Hill in there. But Kamara, listen, we have Kamara. We have Kamara. We are excited about Kamara. He was limited Monday, but I'm sure he's going to be okay. And then I guess if we're talking pass catchers, I mean, Bub Meehans, but that's not a football name. That's a football name in the 1940s, Bub Meehans.
Yeah, he's a rookie. I know there's some people that I follow that did like him a little bit, but still a late round shot. It is the Rattlers still throwing it. Broncos, despite them not having Patrick Surtain, they are still a scary defense. I'm avoiding everything outside of Kamara. And Juwan Johnson, I think, is a dart throw in this game if you're really hurting at tight end.
I don't hate that. I feel like Juwan Johnson is someone that when he has the hot hand, and especially in this situation, it's like, who else is getting the ball? Who else is catching it? I mean, probably Kamara in double-digit receptions. I wouldn't be surprised.
100%.
But the Broncos, on their side of things, I can't believe this, Brian, but I'm actually kind of excited for Bo Nix.
Oh, like, boy.
I know. Now, hear me out. I know I was calling him No Nix just a few weeks ago. But three out of his last 4 weeks, he's put up 19-plus. His only stinker was at the Jets, which that Jets will do that to you. Since week three, he's quarterback 12 on the season. And are we afraid of the Saints defense? I don't know. I just don't think so. So I kind of love it for a bye week guy. I mean, who's on bye this week? It is Dallas and Chicago. So, okay, Dak is a starter out there. Caleb has been really good. So I don't know. I could see it. If you're in a 14-man league, if you're in a super flex league, I think Bo Nix is out there, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people this week.
Bo Nix or Deshaun Watson against Cincinnati?
Bo Nix. Deshaun Watson, bad vibes. Bad vibes.
Daniel Jones against Philly.
Ooh, that's a close one because the Eagles are bad. But I'm going to say Bo Nix because I'm going to stand by this take.
Cool. I like it. As far as the other, I mean, just, I guess
bums me out.
Williams. I guess Javonte Williams is still an option. As we say on Too Much Fantasy Football, when in doubt, Thursday out. Not a huge fan of this option, but it might bring you to it, right? Six carries for 23 yards is not inspiring, but his last two games, six targets, I mean, even beyond that, 3, 4, and 5. It's serviceable, I guess is what I'm getting at.
That sounds like out of service to me.
Yeah, he's been running back 40, running back 12, running back 32 the last 3 weeks. It's not pretty, but if you're in that certain circumstances, I get it. I've got one running back league where I might be starting Tyrone Tracy, even if Singletary's back this week. It's rough.
It is rough. I'll say running back is rough this year, so you may have to plug in Williams, and you just have to hope and pray, but I am not surprised. I would not be surprised if he finishes as running back 30 plus this week. I've not liked what I've seen. He was one of the busts this past week, and we even talked about it. It's like, is it even fair to call him a bust? Because that implies there was expectations, and I don't think there's any.
This is true. Last guy you want to talk about in this game is Cortland Sutton. I kind of see him like a fringe quarter or wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. Pulled in a touchdown. Awesome catch. Nice job, Cortland. We were watching. Because that was the only highlight of the game. But I don't know. You'd rather play Sutton or Javonte Williams in your flex.
I would rather Williams just because I have a bias towards running backs. I think I've talked about that a lot on the show, where it's just the most powerful position in all of football. But I'd rather not. I mean, Bo Nix is the only Bronco I feel comfortable starting. And that feels, I would not have thought that was ever a sentence I uttered this year.
Yeah, I'm saving that soundbite. Who do you have winning this game?
What's the line?
37.5. Denver's covering by 3.
I'll take Denver because I think Bo Nix is going to be show Nix this week.
Yeah, let's go Broncos. All righty, we're back in London. The last of the London games, not quite the international, but the London. The 1-5 Patriots taking on the 1-5 Jaguar.
London this Jaguars. Is mean to London.
Right. 42.5 points over under. Jacksonville's favored by 5.5.
By 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I just didn't expect that happening ever this year. So good for them.
Just starting off quarterbacks. Would you rather play Drake May this week or Trevor Lawrence?
Okay. So this one, I would rather play Drake May. Drake May and Bo Nix would actually be, which is crazy to think. That one's kind of close. But Drake May, now listen, call it God's plan, but Drake has sparked some life into this team. Jacksonville has allowed the most points to the quarterback position. I'm going to say that, you know, Drake has kind of like the phone rang, the hotline bling rang, and he picked up that call. That's a workshop. I don't have those T-Swift ones that you do. But I like Drake May a lot, all that to say. I could keep going, but I'm reading my Drake notes, and they're all so bad. They're all just even worse and worse than that one. So he's a low quarterback one in my eyes. He's very startable.
Absolutely. I mean, look at him. He started from the bottom, and this is now he's here. How's, you know?
How did I miss that
wrong
one? That,
wrong
that
Drake reference. So I think he's an option. I don't hate it. I really don't. I think that you can absolutely torch the Jags. I mean, Will Levis can't, but your average NFL quarterback can. And Drake May, I don't want to get lost in the hype. Yeah, he played great last week. Three touchdowns were great. There were still two interceptions. He made rookie mistakes, and he's going to continue that, especially as these teams have more and more film on him. But all in all, as like a middling to high-end quarterback two this week, Superflex, I'm all down to play him. I actually think I am playing him in one of my leagues, so I'm not too afraid from that.
Not at all. I am excited in even one quarterback leagues. Like I said, a 12-man league, I would consider starting him.
Running backs, though, we've got some work to do. Ramondre Stevenson missed last week. It looks as of now he should be playing this week. Not spotted at practice Wednesday, so maybe not. Report just came through right before we started recording there, so it might be Gibson, and then ETN doesn't look like he's going to play this week either. So between ETN's Gibson and Hasty on one side, you got Bigsby and Deontay Johnson, or Dearness Johnson on the other. Who sticks out?
Okay, so for the Patriots side first, Jacksonville allows the ninth most to running back. Stevenson, he missed practice Wednesday. He missed last week entirely with a foot injury. If he plays, and I always call him a phony, if he plays, I have him as a low one, just because in this game, I think he'd be a good option for Drake May. I think for the May Day parade, I think he kind of helps open that up a little bit. But if he doesn't play, Gibson just looked so pedestrian last week. I have him as a running back three. I'm looking elsewhere. I even like the Tracy with Singletary plays, like you mentioned. Like, I think I'd go there over Gibson. On the other side, ETN is considered week to week, and he can stay week to week for all I care. Needs to think about what he's done after putting up very consistently double digits. And then granted, he had a 9-point, he had a 6-pointer. That's fine. Everybody has one off day, but negative points, I don't know. You can say anything about what he's done. But this is an absolute mess just because Dearness Johnson looked better than Tank. You know, he had one less carry, but he still had just as many yards. And Tank can't catch the ball. Even when it was just the Tank Bigsby show, Dearness was still coming in and getting those receptions. So both of those guys I have as low running back twos, which is technically higher than I'd have Gibson. I would have Dearness a little bit higher than Tank, which is funny because Tank was like that hot commodity, I feel like, these last couple weeks. But I'm just not impressed with Tank is shelling out there.
Yeah, one target. He, as far as the routes run split, it was 25-7 in favor of Johnson over Bigsby. So if these two are both going out there, even if they have a good game script where they are trying to run the crap out of the ball, you're hoping Bigsby falls in the end zone, and Dearness Johnson, you're hoping, gets several targets. So I think it's really hard to put either one of them out there confidently, especially against the Patriots defense, who's not terrible. And this might be the only chance for either one of these teams to get a second win. And I can see them playing a little harder than normal. So I'm almost want to say I'm out on all three of these running backs, talking about those two and the Patriots.
Agreed. Stevenson would be the only one I'd be excited about, but otherwise, like you said, this could be, both of these teams could leave London 1-5-1, which would be a hilarious win-loss record.
It's so gross to have to see that on the record stands. Yeah. Sliding down a tight end, I do think both of these guys can be started. Evan Engram, 10-10, over 100 yards last week.
10-10.
Let's get it. Hunter Henry, I think he's going to help out Drake May. Drake May is showing that he wants to push the ball down the field a little bit. Could open some things up for Hunter Henry. Now, the wide receivers. Brian Thomas Jr., that's an auto start for me, except for, you know, very extreme matchups.
Yes, I like Brian Thomas Jr. His hands looked so bad last week. But listen, he's normally been fine. Normally we've been speaking very highly of him, so gets back in the lineup. Everybody gets one.
Yeah, Christian Kirk's the one I'm willing to sit in this game. Now that Evan Ingram's been back, that was kind of the recipe for Kirk, was Ingram being out. And even still, he wasn't looking great. So I'd rather play Demario Douglas from the other side over Kirk. Kayshon Booty, the second-year player, did run the most routes in Week 6. But Douglas was the leader in targets, getting a 29% target share. Three of the last four games, 37, 30, and 29% target share. Hey, I had that one game with 9, but we won't talk about that.
We won't talk about that one. I'm all in on DeMario. To me, I have him ranked the highest out of all of the wide receivers in this game. Jacksonville allows the most points. You're noticing a trend here. The most points to wide receivers. Yeah, I love DeMario. I'm doing the Dougie for Douglas. I think that's a Drake song. It may not be. But in my mind, I mean, he has low wide receiver one potential. Maybe that's just me sipping the Kool-Aid. So I will temper those and just say a high wide receiver two. I'm very excited about him. It's just a good matchup. It's not
Cali a Swag song. District. They did teach me how to Dougie.
Yeah, I double checked.
Just if anybody's fact checking us out there.
Yeah, thank you, producer.
But so, who do you have winning this game?
Okay, I see it. Patriots are going to cover, I'll say. 5.5 is way too many points for this Jacksonville team. I think if Jacksonville loses and by double digits, I think Doug Peterson stays in London. It's my prediction. Yeah, I'm going to say, oh my gosh. I think Jacksonville wins, but Patriots cover. And if Jacksonville loses by double digits, Doug Peterson stays in London.
I agree with both. I'm taking Jacksonville. But I kind of want to see him stay there. I want to see Jacksonville.
5.5? 5.5 is too many points. And with ETN out, ETN was the only guy I believed in. And I can't even believe in him anymore. I don't know what to think.
Do love me some Brian Thomas Jr. All right. Next game we have Seahawks at Falcons. Seahawks are 3-3. Falcons are 4-2. The line is at 51 points. Let's go. Atlanta is favored by 3. I think we can say pretty easily both these quarterbacks, maybe closer to QB2s, but I think both of them are fringe and you can play them both.
Yeah, I like them both. Cousins, I actually have a little bit lower. I have him as like a mid 2, honestly, kind of like on the lower 2 side. I'm just looking at Kirk, and besides his week 5 explosion where he had 35 points, give or take, he has just been very fine. Like, he is quarterback 14 on the season despite having that 35-point outing. So to me, that just shows that his other performances are very mid. I know especially at the start of the season, he had to kind of work back in after rehabbing his leg, his foot, his ACL all summer. But I'm really looking elsewhere. Like, honestly, most of the other quarterbacks, I have Kirk Cousins in the same range that I have Trevor Lawrence. I think that'll summarize what I think of Kirk Cousins. But Geno, I like. Geno, he's quarterback 7 on the season. His last 3 games, he has 2 22-point games. His last 4 games, he has 2 22-point games and 2 14-point games. Atlanta allows the 7th most points to quarterbacks. So I like Geno a lot more than Cousins. Cousins, I'm pretty out on.
Yeah, it is upsetting how many rushing touchdowns went to the Atlanta backs last week. Kirk should have had a couple more touchdowns.
He should have, but he didn't. He's going to stay low.
Kenneth Walker and Bijan Robinson, the starting running backs for both these teams, they are pretty easily in. I think the question comes to Tyler Allgeier. Yes, the game script said we needed rushing in the last game. Bijan had 15 last week, and then Allgeier had 18. I don't know if we're going to regularly see that. He was 18 for 105 and 1. I think he's a flexible play, but I don't think I'm forcing him into my lineups.
I am definitely not forcing him into my lineups. Yes, the 19.3 last week was incredible, and it definitely sneakily won you guys some matchups. But before that, we're talking 4, 9, 3.2. It's just there's no body of work that Allgeier is going to do anything fantasy relevant. He's going to do something football relevant. He's going to steal carries from Bijan because that's what he does, but he's not going to meaningfully produce. So to me, he's still a handcuff. He's flexible in deeper leagues. He's flexible in, honestly, even not so deeper leagues, especially as we're in bye week season, but I'm not thrilled about starting him. But at the same time, like Allgeier versus Bigsby, that's not pretty. That's actually a terrible example because that's really close. I would do Johnson over Algier, maybe Algier over Bigsby. But like that's the conversation we're having.
Yeah, I think that's about where I'm at for you too.
It's on the other side, Kenneth Walker, I absolutely love. I mean, he is just a thoroughbred running back one.
Yeah, he's getting everything. Like, he is the bell cow. I mean, it's hard not to, like, I mean, as far as DFS even, you know, he's
worth the premium. He's worth the premium. You're going to pay for him. And then his backup, Charbonnet, is purely handcuff. You're really not even rostering him. Even in like a 16 manner, I wouldn't consider him a start.
Problems again with the backups here. We love DK. He had a bit of a down week last week, but between penalties, he should have had two touchdowns, one of which was like a 50-pluser. So,
yeah,
it's going to happen. Wide receivers are inconsistent, but him and Drake London are smash plays. I've got London as a borderline top five overall play this week. Jason and Mooney is where the question begins. Mooney seems to be kind of boom or bust most weeks. JSN might have a little bit higher floor than Mooney just because of the target share, but good Lord, the guy's had two passes over 20 yards, like down the field. Like, we need to get him involved more. 9 targets, 7 targets, 12 targets the last 3 weeks. Do you start him?
It's tough. He is definitely one of the biggest question marks. He's definitely one of the guys where it's truly a case-by-case basis because the targets are that he has the 10th most targets in the league. But like you said, they're all just little dinks and dunks and nothing's productive. And we've even seen Tyler Lockett kind of go off more than we've seen JSN go off. And it's just bananas to me. So, and like you said, like Mooney, he's feast or famine. I think he feasts a little bit more because I think he has just a good connection with Kirk Cousins. Like, I like Mooney over JSN. And JSN has the talent, but I really have him as like a low wide receiver too. I can't put him in the wide receiver range just because the talent and the targets are there. The two T's that we like to see, but we're just not seeing results, which ends in a T.
And we like, yeah, come on, JSN, show us your T's.
Sound bite that. There you go.
Had to.
Yeah.
JSN, he almost got cut this past week because injuries are so bad on one of my teams. So he's definitely a pain, but the target share is there. I like the schedule for Seattle. Geno's been good. We're seeing a lot of these teams regress to these higher scoring games. So I'm willing to give it a shot. I guess JSN or Mooney, who are you going with in this game?
I think I'd go with Mooney because even though he is the feast or famine, I've just seen more feast and I'm still kind of waiting for JSN to do something with his 10th most targets in the league.
Yeah, folks, I'm going to follow the targets and I'm going to make it really hard for you. I'm going JSN into the two. I believe, and I think the Seahawks should be behind in this game. So maybe that, you know, just game script pushing them a little bit more.
Yeah.
Who do you have winning?
Three is a lot. I'll give it to Seattle. I'm glad that we skipped over tight ends because there's no meaningful tight ends to talk about in this game.
I did forget. Kyle Pitts, folks. Fire him up. Four of 6 weeks, he's been a top 12 option. Do it. There's no reason to talk about it because it's so easy. Easy slam dunk.
I was going to say, Noah Fant over Pitts for me.
Ew, gross. Ugh. Falcons win.
I'm going to say the over in this game, Seahawks cover.
I like it. Titans 1-4, Bills 4-2, 41 point over under. Buffalo's favored by 9.5. That line has moved just a smidgen. I mean, I'm really excited to talk about this one, that's for sure, because Pollard's the only startable player on Tennessee.
It's a lot of red. When I look at my notes, it's a lot of red. It's pretty bumming me out. But I have some fun Will Levis stats because we need something to talk about on the Titans side. So Will Levis, he's currently quarterback 31 on the season. So not great. But then I was like, you know what? He's had his bye. That's not fair. That's one less game he's played. So I was like, let's do points per game. He's quarterback 35 in points per game. So it's just quarterbacks and in two quarterbacks super flex leagues, I don't think you start Will Levis.
No, not at all. I'm seeing all right. Here Tennessee's mayonnaise budget is higher than their athletic tape budget, highest in the league. Will Levis,
they're leading something. They will lead in something. But you're so right, though, when it comes to who are we actually starting, it's Pollard. He is running back 19, even with the bye. Buffalo allows the second most points to running backs. We just saw Breece Hall, who's definitely a different breed than Tony Pollard, but he just looked excellent this past Monday. So Pollard, to me, is a high running back, too. Just for the pass catchers, again, just to have something to talk about, I am passing on these pass catchers. The highest rank that I've seen is Ridley, and Ridley's last 4 weeks are 0.9 points, a bye week, 2 points, 1.4 points. So if we add all that up, we get 4 points. I don't know.
No. Yeah, Ridley, he's off my roster until he gets traded or Will Levis is sat for Mason Rudolph. Is there any hope there?
Do we bring back Tannehill?
I don't think he would at this point. He'd just say, screw y'all. I'm not going to go get sacked for.
I don't think he would either. All right. Yeah. Maybe Ridley goes to, we talk about DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe Ridley is the actual guy that's going to.
I think that contract's too steep.
Yeah.
The other side, Josh Allen, we're starting him. James Cook, we're starting him. The question is, Ray Davis. Yeah, if healthy, for sure. But if he is healthy, what are we doing with Ray Davis after that wonderful performance on Monday night? Like, just glorious. The rookie had 20 opportunities, 97 yards, and then caught 3 passes for 55 yards.
Okay. The Titans allow the 9th fewest points to running back, so let's just start with that. But you're still starting. If one guy is healthy, you start that one guy. If Cook doesn't play, sure. Yes, you love Ray Davis. But if if both are healthy, Davis is like a flex range. Like, he drops to a 2. I'm thinking a mid 2. Just, again, comparing to the previous guys we've talked about today, like over Algier, over any Jaguars, Gibson in that game, and over any Bronco running back. But it's just really hot, which is a gimme, but
I'd probably do Javonte Williams just over the amount of work he'll see compared to Davis, because I think Davis has earned a right to have some work, but I don't know if he'll have quite flex appeal, but he is falling into that range of one of the high-end handcuffs. If he takes over this backfield, we've seen firsthand, he can take over the workload. He does just fine. So I like to have him on my roster. We're going into week 7. If you're 3-3, 4, you know, or I guess more 4-2, 5-1, 6-0, Ray Davis needs to be on your team. Otherwise, you probably don't have the luxury of putting him on your bench.
And one thing I want to say about Ray Davis. So Cook missed last week with a toe injury. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't know if I have to even say that, but I'm not. But from what I've heard, he missed with turf toe. And thanks to my light Googling, it seems like turf toe could be a multi-week injury. So he's definitely worth a roster spot, because I would not be surprised. Again, we're recording this before too much information is coming out, and we'll try to update in our pod tomorrow. But I would not be surprised if Cook misses this game as well.
As far as wide receivers go, Amari Cooper, fresh on the team.
He doesn't need the playbook. Catch the ball. That's the play.
That's what I think. They're going to have some design plays for him on that first drive, maybe the first 2 drives. I think he'll see enough that makes him playable. Like, maybe have lower your expectations for him a bit, but I'm okay putting Cooper out there week 1.
I'm definitely okay. I mean, if you live through him being on the Browns and put up with those numbers, I feel like you'll be okay putting up with whatever he gives you in the Buffalo.
Yeah, even at his age, he's still separating. That was one of the big reasons the Bills went after him.
Yeah.
Khalil Shakir, if he's out there, I don't really want to start him. I think you can, but, you know, he's just a floor play for you.
Agree. I have him as like a high 3, more than any Titan. I mean, and more than some of the other teams we've talked about. But now that there is just a new ball hog in town, the only thing that I'm kind of talking myself into here, if I have Shakir, is that Cooper needs to work his way into the system. You talked about it. He'll have some designed plays. But if they just get... Now, again, like, this probably isn't going to happen because they're nearly 10-point favorites. But if this game ever gets any kind of close, let's say the Titans, you know, keep it competitive, I feel like Shakir is going to be leaned on more than Cooper, who just doesn't have the full breadth of knowledge of the playbook. So that's kind of what you're talking yourself into if you're starting Shakir.
I agree with you there. Lastly, Dalton Kincaid, you're starting him. Dawson Knox stole the touchdown.
Yes, he did.
I think that... chances of him being a breakout elite top over like the number one overall tight end. I think we can finally wave that goodbye, especially with Cooper coming into town. But with tight end landscape, you're still putting him out there.
You're still definitely putting him out there. He's providing enough.
I doubt you can trade him. Like, nobody wants to buy that guy at this point.
Absolute worst time. I mean, and it stinks because, again, there was a very, very narrow window because the next day the trade happened. But, like, the dream situation would have been he brings in the touchdown. You can see 8 hours into the future. You offload him at the absolute highest. But now we're just fan fictioning. Like, none of that happened, and you're stuck with him.
Bills are winning, right?
9.5. I mean, yeah, I think they win by double digits. Sorry, Titans fans.
Sorry, Titans. Battle for Ohio for people that want to do that. 2-4 Bengals, 1-5 Browns, 41.5 point over under. Cincinnati's favored by 6. Let's start with the Bengals side because it's pretty easy. Burrow, Chase Brown, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. You sitting any of those guys?
I'm not sitting any of those guys, but Burrow, I need to. I always have to have something about these players.
Dad, Joey B. What you got?
Joey B. is 1-5 in his career versus Cleveland. He's not good against Cleveland, and Cleveland, on top of that, allows the 8th fewest points to quarterbacks. Like, granted, we saw Jalen Hurts not have a turnover against the Browns last week, and that is miraculous for anyone that's watched Jalen Hurts play football. But I don't know. I'm still starting Joe Burrow, but he's not going to be the lights out Joe Burrow he was the last few weeks. And again, for whatever reason, he doesn't do well versus Cleveland. So I don't know. I think be woke to this. I think this is a sneaky Mike Evans versus Tampa Bay stat. Yeah, versus the Saints. Thank you. I don't know why I was blanking there. So please keep that in the back of your mind. I think this is one to watch.
I mean, it's interesting. Since week 2, Burrow has been QB 10, QB 7, 10, 2, and 13. He's thrown multiple touchdowns in every game, but last week where he had that 54-yard touchdown run,
he had wheels.
Didn't really need it there. I mean, this is one of those rubber meets the road situations. Burrow has been unbelievable, despite him dropping water bottles, but he can score touchdowns. So I'm still playing him. I can't fade away from him. I really can at this point. There's not many guys that have been set it and forget it. And Burrow, I'm going to lean into him until I realize maybe he's not matchup proof. So this might be one of the few games of the season where you see that.
Yeah. And I mean, again, this is, I don't have any skin in the Burrow game, so it's very easy for me to talk about. But right now in my rankings, I have Bo Nix and Drake May and Geno Smith, for what that's worth, over Joe Burrow.
Let's do it.
Like, I mean, listen, live bold. I think that's a catchphrase for something, but try it here. Five gum, chew five gum. Yeah. Remember those?
Wasn't good enough for me to remember, but it's out there.
Okay, but then, yes, Chase Brown, easy start. I have him as a higher-end running back. 2, Moss seems like he's kind of lost that job. Seems like he's almost like become the handcuff there. Chase, I like, but I have him just a little bit lower on the wide receiver 1 scale because I have Joe Burrow lower. And then Higgins, I've always kind of had as like a low 2 with lots of upside.
Yeah, going back all the way to week 2, Chase Brown's running back rush share, 25%, 36%, 50%, 57%, 62% last week. Brown has a 51% success rate, and Zach Moss has a 31%, according to Next Gen Stats. I was all on Zach Moss going into the summer, but I am okay with
Colts legend
changing my tune. Yeah, exactly. but as we see, it's slowly evolving, and I'm evolving my take as well. Like Chase Brown, I've managed to pick up over, you know, what, 2 leagues, I think, over the last 3 weeks. I think he's changing the guard. I like him. He's more explosive.
I agree with that. Let's go. Yeah, you're happy if you snagged him early. It was a backfield I avoided just because it seemed messy to me. And again, like I had a lot of Jonathan Taylor, so I had a lot of Zach Moss, and I was impressed with him. So I was like, there's no way this guy loses the job. And hey, I mean, that's why I'm a fantasy analyst, right? But
The wide receivers, Chase Higgins again, those are pretty easy. Tight ends, I'm not touching for the Bengals.
No, Gesicki is Gesexia.
Because, yeah. There we go.
More chop that. What?
Yep. Producer, you got it.
Yeah.
As far as Cleveland's side, I'm not starting a single player outside of David Njoku.
David Njoku, we love. He's the only pass catcher I like. Running backs. Nick Chubb put out a beautiful Players Tribune article. Loves the city of Cleveland, and I love him for that. Listen, somebody has to. I don't know. To me, this is the biggest, like, this is like the GameStop stock of the fantasy world is Nick Chubb. You know, we've seen what he can do when he's healthy. We have no idea what his usage, what anything is going to be. They could ease him in, but I don't hate it if he plays to fire him in there just for the thrill of life through your veins. But if Chubb doesn't play, then it's just a mess of between Foreman and Strong because Ford has lost that job. And I have Strong as a low two, but I'm just excited. Give me Chubb. That's a sound bite.
I'm excited for Chubb, but I'm not playing him in his first game back. They usually take some time to ramp him up. And if the Browns aren't playing for anything, why would they run Chubb into the ground? Chubb's probably got something to prove looking for another contract.
He's got something to prove. He loves Cleveland.
That offensive line is garbage. Jerry Jeudy, I do think, is a speculative add. As long as Watson's still there, you're still going to have issues. But starting off the year, he had 8 targets, 6 targets, 7 targets, 9 targets. Now with Cooper gone, one of the leading players in targets, I think Jerry Jeudy might find his way into the end zone a couple times this season.
I don't hate that. I like that as an add. And then, honestly, depending on how much the Browns blow it up, he could also be shipped somewhere.
I think they just re-signed him this summer, so I think he's their guy for the future, which is another reason I think they're okay with getting rid of Cooper.
That's a good point, but remember OBJ. We didn't just extend OBJ to trade him.
But that's the Giants. They make, you know.
Oh, that's true.
All right, who's winning that game? You had the Browns written down, I see.
I think the Browns. Listen, 1-5 is meaningful.
Oh, God,
meaningful.
I should have made that joke. You're serious. So, shit.
1-5 is meaningful. I don't know. That's 1-5 straight up. That's not even against the spread. Joey B struggles versus Cleveland.
And Cleveland is 1-5.
That has to come on. I'm seeing the stars align right now as you say that. I'm going to take the Browns.
Straight up or just to cover?
Straight up. Browns money line.
Ooh.
Under 41. Because again, that's how they went. That's how the Browns, if they do win this game, it's not a shootout.
Yeah, Bengals have been one of the best offenses, but one of the worst defenses. It's hard not to even just say the Browns cover the spread, but I'm going to take the Bengals. But I'm not going to lie, I'm probably going to put some money on the Browns just because Mario's won me some.
It's folks. Worth a sprinkle.
I have no reason to say that he's right. I tend to lean a different way in some of these games, but he's pulling together some of these upsets, and I love it.
Oh,
all right, we've got 2 more games in this slate. Let's talk about the 5-1 Texans playing the 4-2 Packers. 47.5 point over under. Green Bay is favored by 3 points. I'm excited. I mean, there's not a lot of no's in this game.
No, there is not. This one, we kind of talked about it where that last game, you know, a lot of these, you know, the Browns, the Titans is just a whole lot of red. This is just green light everywhere. Wherever you want to start, let's take us through. Let's talk some good things.
Let's talk quarterbacks. Stroud, Love.
Stroud, Love. Quarterback 10 on the season. One downside. Green Bay allows the 10th fewest points to quarterbacks. But I don't care. This should be a shootout. He's a quarterback 1. Set and forget.
I think so, too. I definitely like Love more in this game. But I do think Stroud should be able to make some magic happen.
Agreed. And then now piggybacking to Love. I love Love. He is quarterback 3 in points per game this season. He's obviously missed some time. That's why we're using the points per game. But to me, he is a top 3 quarterback this week. Like, there is absolutely no reason. I think he's going to be a top 5 quarterback rest of schedule.
I agree with you. Going to the running backs here. Why do I, like, Josh Jacobs been fine this year, running back 23, 8, 25, 44, 22, 26. Oh, I see the problem. His 1 lone 8 running back, that's the only game he scored a touchdown. The dude has 1 touchdown. He does not have a receiving touchdown on his career. So that shouldn't be too surprising. But he still had games of 2 receptions, 3 receptions, 4 receptions. He's getting carries out the wazoo. 18, yes, 19, 32, 16, 14. Why can't you score?
Listen,
because Jordan Love is scoring from too far out.
That's the problem. When you have Jordan Love and this wide receiver room, like, listen, not everybody's going to get touchdowns. It's not going to be a 50-point game every single week. Despite not getting these touchdowns, Josh Jacobs is running back 12 over the last 3 weeks. I don't care how he does it. I don't want to know how the sausage gets made. I just want to have delicious sausage every single morning. And this is Green Bay we're talking about. They're going to make the brats. So I like it. Houston, a knock on it. Like, Houston allows the eighth fewest points to running back. But I'm seeing results either way. So I have him as a high two.
I think I've got Mixon more as the high two, Jacobs as the low two, just because, I mean, the touchdown regression's got to come at some point. Ooh, yeah, Mixon's been a beast.
Mixon, I was going to say a two is just, if by two you mean running back two on the week, because Mixon has played two full games. Like, he obviously got hurt in week two, so that one doesn't count. He's played two full games. He was running back two on the week both times. So if you're saying he's running back two, as in the running back two, like the Ohio State, sure. But I have Mixon as like a bona fide, like one plus. He is a set and forget stud.
It's because he has three touchdowns. He knows where to score. Come on, Josh, take some notes. Maybe Joe will show you what to do in this game.
It's that easy. Oh my gosh.
Goodness.
Oh yeah. So far, I've seen nothing but green from the quarterbacks and the running backs. All the backs.
When you start with the stud wide receivers here, Stephon Diggs, Jaden Reed, those are easy starts too. There's really no questions asked on those guys.
Easy start. I have Diggs over Tank because Diggs is the diva, so he's going to get a little bit more. But Tank, I mean, we saw Tank come alive last week. Finally, it just took, you know, one less mouth to feed.
But yeah, was it like a 30% target share he had last week? Yeah, that's what we like, folks. We like that a lot.
Like that a lot. But I still have Diggs higher than him. And then on the other side, Reed is definitely the guy. I said it from week one. Whoever they focus against the Eagles is going to be the guy because the Eagles are bad secondary. It's continued to be true. Reed is the number one wide receiver. I guess here's not that it matters, but like Reed or Diggs, I feel like those two guys I have very close. I might have Diggs a little bit higher just because it's less mouths to feed around, but both guys very, very high. You're starting both.
So why didn't you steal Tank Dell off my team then if you like Dell so much as well? Huh? You had to take Debo. You could have just taken
I just like the matchup, you know, versus Kansas City, the Super Bowl rematch. It's just a good storyline there.
So yes, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Jaden Reed, you're starting. I mean, I don't have any reasons not to start him. And even Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, I think both of these guys can be flexed in this game. Christian Watson continues to be looked at down in the end zone. Romeo Doubs pulled down two touchdowns this past week. He's not going to pull a touchdown every week. He's definitely not going to get two every week. But when you have situations like Dontavian Wicks going out, that only ups the chances of, I mean, somebody's going to disappoint between Kraft, Reed, Watson, and Dobbs. Somebody will disappoint.
Yeah.
But with Wicks gone, there's a higher chance that two guys do decent. One does good, one does great. And if I'm buying into some of these players as flex options that do pretty good, I'll take a flex option from Jordan Love as opposed to a flexing a guy that has Bo Nix as his quarterback or Trevor Lawrence as his quarterback. You know, I'll play any of these receivers over, I mean, everybody in the London game, you know. Over Christian Kirk for sure, over Gabe Davis, you know, all those guys.
Not DeMario. Everyone else.
That one's a little closer. If you're looking for like a floor play, I'd probably play Douglas over Watson and Dobbs. But if you're looking for big, I'd go Watson or Dobbs.
Yes, I mean, there are definitely all these guys we like. I can't add too much. I mean, my big worry is like, you already covered it, but it's a 3 to 4 to 5 headed monster, this entire pass catching room. So I feel the best about Reed. I feel good about Dobbs over Watson, but even those guys are kind of close. And then Wicks has the potential if his hands just, you know, doesn't turn into concrete in between games.
Right. Dalton Schultz is the other tight end on the other side. I don't mind sprinkling him. Touched on him a little bit in my article this week just because of the matchup, the over-under, Nico Collins still being gone. We're going to see Schultz involved little by little.
Definitely. As long as Collins is out, I think Schultz gets a good bump.
All righty. I want to hear yours. Who you have?
This one's tough. This one's tough. 47.5 over under. I would take the under, and I think Texans cover, Packers win.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm going Packers. I was wanting to see if we were on the same side here.
This one's tough. It's so, but the NFC North is just football this year. I don't know. I can't question it.
And that's where the Texans got their only losses, up there in the NFC North, taking on the Vikings.
Woo! The Vikings.
Yeah, let's give us Packers in this one. Jordan Love, he's 2-2 on the season. He's got to get that winning record started. So let's go with the Cheeseheads. Let's All right, last it. Game here. Dolphins, they're in deep water. They're 2-3. Colts are 3-3. 43.5 point over under. Indy is favored by 3. Richardson's getting the start pending some wild last second injury. But I'm good with starting Richardson as a QB1 this week.
I am. I don't think I am. I think you can. I mean, again, Bo Nix over him, Drake May over him. I have Richardson over Trevor Lawrence. I have Richardson over Kirk Cousins. I have him over whoever the Dolphins are trotting out there. But yeah, you know what? I'm going to say this, which maybe it's just a coincidence, but I saw that there was no sign of, speaking of healthy people, there was no sign of Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, or Trey Sermon at practice today for the Colts. And to me, is this like a boy? Like, I heard rumors that they're actually at the real first string practice with Joe Flacco.
You know what? It's like, I think it's 17 of the Colts' 22 starters has missed at least one game this season. 17 of 22 start. Like, we just can't get healthy this year. Like, it usually hits teams like San Francisco or the Jets and stuff like that, I feel like. And it's just been in Indianapolis this year.
Yeah, but okay. So, Richardson, that's how I feel about him. I have other guys ranked higher. His upside is through the roof because any given Sunday, he's going to get 3 rushing touchdowns. And you're like, why wouldn't? And he's going to have a beautiful bomb, a 70-yard. I just said everybody's injured, but somebody's going to catch it. You know, Pierce is going to come back from the grave. But yeah, okay.
Kirk said 2 boom. Multi-touchdown games this year. I mean, he won't lose you the game. Anthony Richardson can, but Anthony Richardson can also win you a week, and it's very rare when Kirk Cousins wins you a week.
Yeah, 35 points. But besides that, yeah, he's still bad. But okay, so yes, going forward, if Richardson's starting, and we'll say that for the rest of the Colts team, but I don't hate starting him, but I dislike it over some of the other names we've said. And I mean, to add to this, Miami allows the fewest points to quarterback, which is crazy to me because I don't picture them as many things, especially
well,
not
because you don't have to. You got to score once against them, and they're not doing anything. These are such low-scoring battles.
They're very okay with you running the ball. They're like, listen, like if you want to get 8 yards a carry, we'll just scooch out of the way. Let's just really take our time here.
Right. Just run the clock. Just keep that clock rolling for us.
Yeah. Let's get this done, you know, before 4 o'clock. Okay. So that's that. And then on the flip side of things, plus side for Miami fans, Indy allows the 4th most points to quarterback, but you're still not starting any of them. This was kind of surprising to me. Tua still has the most points out of all Miami quarterbacks, despite being knocked out in week 2. He's quarterback 34 on the season. Tyler Huntley's 37, Skylar Thompson is 40, Tim Boyle's 42. And maybe it's because they've all hodgepodge stolen a little bit of points here and there, but Tua is still leading these guys.
That's sad. Freaking terrible. Yeah. Running backs here, if Jonathan Taylor's in, I'll play him. Outside of that, I don't want to play him or Sermon.
Sermon, he is not impressed me, especially if Richardson's going to be there. I think that's just going to be a competing backfield. But Jonathan Taylor, if he plays, you fire him up. But I did see he had a quote earlier today when he was asked, like, you know, can fantasy managers rely on him? And he said, and this is a direct quote, "I don't want you to put me in now and then I'm out. But as long as you have a good swap, you're perfect." I don't know what that means. I know he called me perfect, which like brought a smile, grin to my face, ear to ear. But other than that, I have no idea.
Yeah, that one's tough. Again, this game's not going to be a high scoring game. It shouldn't be anyway. So I'm hesitant playing these pieces anyway. But yeah, if he's out there, I'm willing to.
If he's out there, I'm starting him. No hezzy hay. But there could be a hezzy hay if he doesn't play.
The other side, Devon Achane logs a full practice Wednesday. I'm willing to put him out there. Just like the competitive edge that he gives you over, you know, any other player is just unreal.
Yep. He's got that huge upside. He's got the raw talent. But then
here comes the big issue is the second guy, though. It's Raheem Mostert. So it was Mostert and Wright in the last game before the bye week with Achane out. Mostert was 19 for 80, caught two passes for 18 yards. It's not like amazing, but that's still really good, that's really startable. Serviceable. It's enough to keep Wright off the field, who was, you know, he was 13 for 86. That's amazing. You know, ideally, I'd love Achane and Wright to be out there, but at this point, Mostert's still going to be a thorn in the side. And I think at this point, until two is back, it's just Achane for me.
I agree. I think Achane is going to be the only guy we're trusting, but Wright is worth a pickup because I just, to me, this is a fragile backfield. So if any of these guys gets hurt, we've already seen Achane get a little banged up. So Wright is worth a roster.
Wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, the Colts allow everybody to score except for Calvin Ridley. I smashed Calvin Ridley on several props in DFS because the Colts just let you score and he went 0-8. So I'm going to ring the bell again. Tyreek Hill should have something. He doesn't need a quarterback to necessarily score. But what about Waddle?
You have to still sit him. You can't take Skylar Thompson's second wide receiver. I will say, though, this is after the bye week. So, I'm trying to talk myself into it. Indy allows the ninth most points. You talked about it. Everybody scores on them. But fresh off the bye week, I'm a little bit more optimistic. I think that's a big reason also why I'm excited about seeing what Hill can do. The Mike McDaniels, I picture him wheeling and dealing something where it's going to be a lot of short yardage things, wide receiver screens. But he's just going to get his playmakers the ball. So I wouldn't be shocked if you take a Waddle anytimer. I don't hate it, but I'm not confident in starting him in my lineups.
I get that. On the other side, I mean, this is hard. I like Pierce. I'll let you touch on him if you want. But Josh Downs and Michael Pittman both are worried about injuries. I'm more worried about Pittman just because it's back spasms. They can pop up at any part or any point. He was a non-participant Wednesday despite pulling down that touchdown in the end zone Sunday. I would love to pivot away from him if I can, especially with Richardson out there. But if you can't, you can't. And then Josh Downs, toe injury, didn't practice Wednesday. What are we doing? Does that mean Alec Pierce has an auto start this week?
Auto starts generous, but Pierce's best games were when Richardson was just slinging it 70 yards and Pierce was just the guy on the other side of that bomb. So I like Pierce more than Waddle. I like Pierce more than Wicks. I'm going to have to scroll up and compare them. Anyone, I like him more than Judy. And then it's getting kind of muddy, more than any Titans guy, but all that to say, I don't know. I think some of these players are like, you know, having what Devontae Adams had when he was on the Raiders when Richardson's starting. That's my conspiracy theory. But here's another maybe not so fun fact. But Miami allows the third fewest to wide receivers because again, you just don't have to. They're like, please don't score on us this way. Just like do the thing that eats up clock because we don't want to be here.
And I will add to Richardson, I get it. It's very small sample size, but in week four, he went 3 for 4 for 71 yards. He looked drastically better in that small sample we got in week four. Again, it could have just been those couple drives looked really well. They were planned out, but his footing, that's the big issue. He needs his feet planted so he can drive, you know, throwing the ball, his accuracy and all that. So if they're continually working on that, he's getting better at that. We might see him actually progress as a passer. And all he has to do is progress a little bit. You know, he's in that 50% range completion. If we can get him into that 60 to 65 cusp, he's going to be magic. He doesn't have to complete 70% of his balls. That's not how he's going to win. But no. we just got to get there. So I'm optimistic, I guess, that some of these passing woes might increase a little bit or decrease.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you might as well see what he can do. See what the kid can do.
And tight ends, I'm not touching any of this crap.
No. Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. What was the over-under in the line in this game? I missed it.
Not high enough. Over-under is 43.5. Indy is only favored by 3 at this point. I say only as a fan. I think they should be favored by more. But
by 3? Okay. Listen, it's healthy funny. Jonathan Taylor, I like that. If no Jonathan Taylor, Miami off the bye, I don't know.
Colts are 5-1 against the spread. Dolphins are 1-4 against the spread.
I mean, that's what happens when Skylar Thompson. I don't know. Mike McDaniel off a bye. I want to give him some credit.
And they need to win this to stay in the playoff talk. If they are going to make some sort of run when Tua comes back, they need to get this win this week to go to 3-3.
Which is exactly why I'm kind of thinking, like, again, I'm giving a lot of credit to Mike McDaniel here. No offense to the Colts, but they're not the scariest team the Dolphins have to face. So, I don't know. I think the Dolphins are very much alive in this one.
Let's go Indy. Whole bias here, folks, but I'm going with Indy.
3 is too many points. Give me Dolphins.
Yeah, 3 is too many points for the game.
Final score, a safety.
Right. Awesome. Mario, that's it. That's all 7. We got it wrapped up.
Whew, put a bow on it.
Put a bow. Folks, we can't thank you enough for listening, stopping by, hanging out with us just for a little
hanging
bit
out
while we go over these games. Of course, make sure you're liking, you're sharing, you're telling all your non-fantasy football friends, because you don't want to share the secrets. Of course not. If you're looking for more written work from us, we have football.pitcherlist.com. It's everything great that QB List has to offer is right there. Of course, you can find me at @too_much_Brian on X. I also do YouTube stuff on Too Much Fantasy Football at the Fantasy Football Advice Network. Mario, tell them about everything that you got going on.
Oh my gosh, what don't I have going on? I mean, you mostly find me here where you listen 3 days a week. You listen on Tuesday mornings or anytime on Tuesday. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, new episodes drop. Give it a listen. You also find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. Find me on Reddit. I'm in all the QB List threads, which we post a few times a week. We got Marco's excellent top 150s. And I'm usually in there just answering questions. I'm also on the Discord, so please join it. It's a great time. It's where you find me.
It's where you find us and all the wonderful football stuff. Like we said, can't thank you enough for hanging out with us. Like it, share it, support us the way you can. That way we can, you know, keep buying Mario all these great sandwiches he's got.
Love those sandwiches. Peace.